I often wonder when someone uses the phrase, "I give you my word," what do they really mean? And do they mean what they really say? I know that when I use the phrase, it is a statement of honor. It is a statement that I'm requesting the trust of another, whether it's a very close friend or the cashier at the local grocery store. It says something about our character when we use those words. It says something about our very Christian identity. Now, in his decree for the Word of God Sunday, Pope Francis said, "The relationship between the risen Lord, the community of believers, and sacred scripture is essential to our identity as Christians. The book, the Bible is the book of the Lord's people, who in listening to it move from dispersion and division towards unity." In our first reading, Nehemiah and Ezra are in a period of restoration after years of exile. And after rebuilding the protective walls around Jerusalem, the whole community gathered as one man, an expression of unity. Men, women, and children old enough to understand the divine word. Because while the city's protective walls are important, the greater foundation in the restoration of Israel is the need to hear and obey God's word. And so Ezra read plainly from the book, from the scrolls. And the Levites, who represent the catechist, went about explaining the word to the people. And the people were moved to tears. When was the last time the word proclaimed moved you to tears? Really, to understand the people's response, we need to understand the rhythm of the Old Testament and often the rhythm of our own lives. You know, at first, when we first embrace God's word, we desire to make covenant with him and he in covenant with us. But yet somewhere along the line in our lives, we fall away. We find ourselves in exile. And then there's that opportunity of reconciliation. The times when we humbly realize that we've exiled ourselves and we desire to embrace God's word anew. And then there's the celebration, resurrection. There's always the opportunity to resurrect, to give God our word, that we hear him and will obey his will for us. And while the people were moved to tears, Ezra tells them, "No, this is not necessary. Rejoice, for this is the word of God. He is our stronghold. He is our foundation. Go ahead and eat, drink, celebrate. Share what you have with those who have nothing. Because this is what it means to be in cooperation with God's word." In Luke, we hear word proclaimed from Jesus himself as they bring him the scroll. And he gives the shortest homily on record, but one of the most powerful. Enter into the drama. Jesus goes to hometown, his home parish, his home synagogue. And he stands to read from the scroll. He reads from Isaiah. And he reads in such a way, as we hear in scriptures, that it sounds that he has authority. And when he finishes, rolls it up and sits down, there is that pause where we get to contemplate the word. And then he says, today this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing. And he dropped the mic. We have to remember that the people that he is speaking to, the citizens, are citizens of an occupied country, living under brutal, oppressive regime. Some thought he was preaching of armed revolution. But the revolution Jesus is talking about is a different kind. See, he knows that people must change inside before they can change things around them. So he tells them and tells us that before you go try to change the world, look inside and change what might be drawing you away from the unity of the Word of God. Look inside to see what might be drawing you away from unity with your family. Look inside to see what might be drawing you away from unity with your communities or your nations. Look inside to find what is drawing away from your cultural identity, from your very Christian identity, that is to be of one body in Christ. And Jesus doesn't do this just in words. He does it in a dramatic and unforgettable deeds. He cures a blind man as a sign that we can be cured of our own blindness, helping us to see what is really important in our lives. He cast out demons to show us that we too can be free of the demons within, our selfishness, greed, our anger, our resentments, our infidelities to God's word. And he raises the dead to show us that there is a fuller life available to each and every one of us. The world cannot be just and loving until we individually, men, women, and children of age to understand the divine words, are ourselves just and loving. But that's not the whole story of Jesus' message. Who we are as a people of God is not just an individualistic spiritual exercise that looks for the salvation of individuals. No, God cares about us as a people, as the body in Christ, with a shared identity. Nehemiah uses a phrase, gathered as one man. And Paul uses the imagery of our physical bodies to illustrate the unity in Christ that we are called to. We each are individually knit in the womb of our mothers before we were even born. God knew us. God gifts us individually, uniquely, so that we can act as one body of Christ. So that when one is sorrow, the entire body is sorrow. When the body is in pain, every part of the body is in pain. And for us Christians, we receive this at baptism, that we enter the door to life and to the kingdom. Even the baptism of other faith traditions that acknowledge Father, Son, and Holy Spirit understand this grace. It is in baptism that our Christian identity is enlightened by the grace of the Holy Spirit. It responds to the Word of God and is incorporated into the church. It is a sacramental bond of unity, linking all who are signed by it. Now, as we prepare to enter into the mystery of the second table, communion, and a faithful response to God's word, it's here that Jesus wants to form us more intimately into the one body of Christ. Our amen is an affirmation of faith and belief in the mystery of the word made flesh. It's giving our word to accept the mission to go in peace, to glorify the Lord by our lives, to courageously share God's word, God's good news, with compassion and mercy to those who remain in some form of exile from God.